Hello. So I have been delaying recording this episode for quite some time. Not because I'm lazy, but because I've been very busy lately. And tonight, WhatsApp, Instagram, and Facebook stopped working globally. So I think this is going to build as a good example going forward. Also, Facebook sucks. So hi, since if you're not already aware, I'll just tell you what we are going to discuss in this episode. We are going to talk about the IT industry in general, the kind of roles and departments that there are, and basically this is my attempt or my contribution to anyone who's going to go work in the IT industry or is planning to work in the IT industry or is being coerced into working into the IT industry, and just want to make sure that they are not lost, because I was and everyone is. I have had so many friends over the time who have joined the industry and who have realized that this is probably something that they didn't want to do, or there was something else that they wanted to do within the IT industry than what they actually started working on. And you waste a lot of time working on stuff that's not very relevant to what you want to do. So it's going to be a little unstructured. I'm trying to structure it based on the questions that I had received over my Instagram and other, you know, things that I had initially planned to speak about. So the first thing is, software development is not the only job in IT. And that is, while that is very ludicrous and that pays well, there are other high paying jobs as well. And that should be the starting point of it before I proceed. But let's look at a few things. First of all, I'll start to talk about what are the prerequisites for getting into the IT industry. There are a few ways that you can get into it, and I'm talking from a technical perspective right now. You could probably do a BCA, Bachelor's in Computer Application, and combine that with the MCA, and or just a BCA in some cases might be enough as well. The chances of landing a good role with this degree might not be too much, but it's a good start. It can provide you some base, some concept. While the degree doesn't hold as much value as an engineering degree, it does provide a lot of basics and a lot of concepts that are relevant to the just normal computer science. But at the end of the day, yes, engineering does take precedence, but this is also a course that you can explore. And coming to the engineering side of things, obviously, we have the computer science and the IT field, which are, I don't know why, but there are a few folks who urge that computer science is better than IT, and it's not really the case, because at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter a lot. Computer science, for some reason, is given a little precedence in terms of cutoff, in terms of primary selections during the interview round. But as long as the study is concerned, as long as the syllabus is concerned, there's not too much difference in both of these. This is something that you might want to note. And while these two fields are primarily the fields that are sought after by IT companies, we all know that it's not limited to that anymore. One of the major fields that is being pushed into the IT industry is electronics and communication. And apart from that, I have seen even civil engineers landing a job in IT companies, the mass recruiters. So we're going to come into all of this. What should be a starting point? How do you decide which job you should go for and what job you should not go for? So I'll try to address the last part of my previous theory or the previous example or scenario. Talking about people from other fields that are not pertaining to computer science, when they get into the IT industry, what their expectations should be, how should they level up, and is this the right thing for them or not. A lot of the my views and the general views have changed after the pandemic, obviously, because the job crunch has been real. People are getting laid off right, left and center. And at the same time, companies want talent because there is a huge opportunity and like a huge market that's available for them. So IT industries are booming and they're looking for talent. And at this point, if you're getting a job at a good company and a good IT company, speaking from a career point of view, it would be a good choice to go ahead for that. But at the same time, if you think that this is something that does not interest you at all, maybe you could explore some other jobs into it. But all I'm saying is that, you know, you need a starting point. Frankly speaking, you could go for your higher studies if that does not interest you and if you're not getting a company of your choice. But if you want, you can probably get a role within an IT company that might be less technical for you. What I'm trying to say is that while most companies appear for software developer jobs, you might be able to land jobs that are not very, that do not require a lot of coding knowledge and a lot of technical knowledge in general. One way to gain that edge over other students from other computer-centric departments is that you just get the basic concepts of computers clear. Like, understand this. If you can figure out everything that takes place while you are visiting a website and downloading the file from there, and every service that's involved in that, you are good to go. I mean, when I say this, you don't have to just get the surface level knowledge. Obviously, I'm giving a very, very small example. But if you can just figure this part out, you can figure a lot about networking. You can figure a lot about the components involved, the UI, the backend, and other stuff. To note, to list down a few, I mean, you can reach out to me, or you can just explore a few resources on the internet, because I might be very hesitant to spoon feed this entire detail to a bunch of students. You can book consultations with other people and a lot many things. But a lot of these resources are available on the internet. One problem that I've seen in a lot of students is that when they start off in a particular job, or when they're just entering the IT industry without having any knowledge of IT industry, they get very confused on where to start and what to start with. So just understand how the internet works, and that will provide you a lot of insights into what your job might be. And I'm talking from a web development perspective. And since everything is switching to cloud these days, web development is something that is too much in the picture. Application development, not so much. But I mean, they still are, but web development is a booming market right now. You will hear all these terms, machine learning, data science, and everything. And sure, all of these fields are having a lot of demand as well. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter ki kaun sa field kitna grow kar raha aur kya nahi. If you are getting into this, firstly, try to settle in. Try to feel at home in the grand scheme of things. So a few good places to start with would be get a little bit of coding practices. Start from the very basic. It doesn't matter if your other peers are doing better than you. But starting from the very scratch, and you don't have to go around brainstorming which language to start with. Go with JavaScript or C. That should be good. JavaScript, C or C++, or just Java or Python. Any five of these languages would be good. But I would say go for JavaScript, because if you're going for JavaScript, you can learn a lot. Like, you can learn a few frameworks and you would be actually a full stack developer. A full stack developer is someone who can work out all the pieces in a web transaction, if you're talking about the front end and the back end. So yeah, with that being said, and I think you will gain some more context when I present the roles that are there in the IT industry and how this generally work. So now, coming back to the majority of the audience, what exactly is the IT industry, and where do you, or where can you find yourself? So we'll take the starting point of a product. Okay, I'm taking a product in picture, but it can be a service as well. When I say product or service, a product is where a company, they have created a software or they have created an application or they have created something that they're selling. And a service-based company is generally companies which gain requirements from their clients and build something for them. For example, Facebook is a product-based company because they have their products. Microsoft is a product-based company because these companies, they have their own products and they're selling and they're presenting them as offering to their direct consumers. Infosys, TCS, Wipro, these are service-based companies. What they do, they get in touch with their clients and they gain their requirements. There's a whole team laid out for that. And then once they have the requirement, they will give out their own suggestion in cases. And if the client has something very particular to say, they will build on top of that. For example, if you're going to Subway, okay, or if you're going to any food stall, and let's take Golgappa Pani Puri as an example, okay? If someone is building their own Golgappa and selling them to you in a packet, that's a product-based company. But if you're going ahead and you're saying that, you know what, I want you to make Golgappas for me, and I want them to be this spicy, I want that to have that flavor, I want it to have Maggi in them, whatever, okay? And maybe the Golgappa wala would be like, listen here, you dumb fuck, you do not add Maggi to your Golgappa. But you're like, I don't fucking care if we add it or not, that is my requirement. So in that case, this is an example of a service-based company, which is pretty bad. But we'll make do with it. So you get the point, right? I mean, even if you don't, I don't really have any way of knowing. But it was a good example if you look at it. It was not. But yeah, so the Golgappa theory checks out. So this is the main difference and key difference between product-based and service-based. The problem and the pros and the cons of these are, a product-based company would have you a lot of visibility on one product. It will teach you how the ecosystem works when you are going ahead with a market-centric product, and you know, when you're going ahead in developing something that is going to be used by consumers, your way of thinking will be very dynamic. Like you will be given space for ideation, your inputs will be considered. Depending on the company that you go for, my experience so far in a product-based company has been that I get a lot of freedom in my work and I get a lot of room for growth and innovation. So I can actually pitch ideas that can be taken up by hundreds or thousands or millions of users. And that is a very good feeling in itself. And in a service-based company, the amount of control you have as a developer, again, both of these are from a developer point, it's very minimal because the requirements are laid out. You are just supposed to create and deliver what you have been asked of. And the pro from a service-based company, the main pro that from a service-based company that I see is, you are not just gaining expertise on one product or one technology. Your requirement, the client requirements keeps on changing and you keep on building your tech stack. Like you keep learning new things every day, and it is a good thing for your resume. If you're going out tomorrow, let's say, you will be more equipped to go in any company. So, and in case of product-based company, your tech stack is very limited. For example, if you're talking about Microsoft uses its own tech stack, which is not so widely used outside of Microsoft. And let's say you're working on a product, on a Microsoft product. Let's say you're working on Teams. Okay, you're developing a feature component in Teams. Your way of thinking will be very limited by the way Teams works. And it's not the best thing to have in the market. But again, there are pros and cons to both. And you can obviously scale up at your own time. That's not a difference. And once you learn one tech stack, it is pretty easy and it's pretty convenient for you to ramp up on others as well. For example, remember when I said that you can start up with any one language? It's because going forward, agar aapko ek language aati hai na, and if you have the basic concepts of any of the programming languages, learning the language and syntax itself is very easy. It's like how you learn a normal speaking and communication language. Agar aap हिंदी में बात करते हो, योर प्राइमरी लैंग्वेज एंड द लैंग्वेज यू थिंक इन इज़ हिंदी, बट देन एज यू स्टार्ट लर्निंग अ सेकेंडरी लैंग्वेज फॉर मी विच इज़ इंग्लिश, माई वे ऑफ ट्रांसलेटिंग इंग्लिश विद इन माई ओन ब्रेन इज़ दैट आई लुक एट अ सिचुएशन, माई ब्रेन विल ट्रांसलेट इट फ्रॉम हिंदी टू इंग्लिश इन माई ओन यू नो हेड, एंड देन आई से इट आउट. विद टाइम दैट इम्प्रूव्स, विद टाइम यू स्टार्ट थिंकिंग इन अदर लैंग्वेजेस एज वेल, बट दैट इज़ हाउ लर्निंग अ लैंग्वेज वर्क्स. सो द सेम थिंग इफ यू आर लर्निंग इन, इफ यू आर वर्किंग इन जावा, राइट, यू नो कि लेट्स से यू हैव टू ऐड अ नंबर एंड यू हैव लर्न दैट इन जावा, और लेट्स से यू हैव टू फाइंड द इफ द स्क्वेयर रूट ऑफ अ पर्टिकुलर नंबर एक्सिस और नॉट and you're doing it in Java. So you will understand how a number works, and you have to understand that how the algorithm is nothing but the process or the steps that are supposed to be followed to crack open a problem and to solve it. So for example, the algorithm to multiply two numbers is that one is you multiply it straight away. Second is you can add the first number the number of times of the second number. For example, if I'm saying 2 into 3, it could be 2 plus 2 plus 2, and or it could be directly 2 into 3. So once you crack open the algorithm, it's very easy for you to translate it to other languages as well. And eventually, as you start using the other language more and more, you become very clear and you become very fluent in it. So that is about it. So the tech stack part and both the things are not too much of a concern and not too much of a constraint in terms of your job, but it's a good thing to know that what your job can offer. If you at a service-based company feel that you're not gaining the amount of freedom that you'd want, then getting into a product-based company would be a good switch. Landing a job in a product-based company is a little difficult because people expect you to have that vision, have that out-of-the-box thinking. So it might be a little difficult, but at the end of the day, it's not too much of a challenge. Matlab, this is something that you can, it's achievable. It's not like, oh, you have to have 1 year of training to just switch from a service-based company to a product-based company. One thing that you can do is you can figure out the tech stack that is being used by the product-based company, and then you can just translate that into you can translate that from your own work. For example, if you were building stuff in Java and you want to appear into Microsoft, and if you see that Microsoft uses the tech stack of C#, so you can just go ahead and ramp up on C# really quick, and it won't be too much of a hassle. But when you appear into Microsoft, it would look really good that you are a person who has done their due diligence and who's actually looking forward to working in this company. So that would act as a real plus. But taking all the developer-centric conversations aside, let's look at the model of a product. Let's look at the life cycle of a product and figure out how you can fit in and how are different roles opened up based on the different cycles that a product goes through. So first would be the ideation of a product, right? That you are going ahead and you have decided that you want to build a product, and the idea is stemming out on that way. So the first thing that comes into this picture would be the people who decide, who start forming this product. So there are roles in different companies, which are product management and program management, often interchangeably used. And still, they might hold different definitions based on which company you're going for. But if you're going for a product management or program management role, it is not something that you will be given fresh out of your college, especially if you're doing just engineering. MBA colleges ke baad ye wala role kaafi accessible hota hai. And this is probably the first role that you will get if you are getting out of MBA college and applying for a role. But if not, then this role will not be provided to you. So, but let's take the program manager role into consideration. And if you have done your engineering, this program manager role is very much accessible for you. It's just that you have to grow in your career. When I say grow in your career, I mean that even if you're starting out as a software engineer, you can gain some expertise and know you can learn with your role, and then you can learn about the program manager role within your company and then make the switch. But coming back, what a program manager or product manager does is that they talk about the product. Basically, they lay out a roadmap for the product. They divide the product into multiple features. They see what the value a product holds. They get the review and the approvals done by the stakeholders. And a lot of time and work goes into the ideation part of it. There are architects involved. There are hardware folks involved if your project requires hardware component to it. If it's a cloud service or a cloud solution, then there might be cloud architects for the same who will look into these stuff. So that is basically the first step of the entire thing. And depending on which company you are from, this step might differ, but the basic outline would remain the same. So the roles that you get here is, if you think that the work that you want to do revolves around going ahead and imagining a vision for something, learning onto an idea, developing and discussing and researching more around it, and then providing inputs, figuring out if it's a good solution. It's basically if you want to build a startup within a huge organization, this role would be a good start to go for. And you will find there is a lot of great learning with this. You will see success, you will see failure, you will see your ideas being rejected, but you'll also learn why your ideas were rejected. So it's a really, really fun and a very hectic role to be in. So that's there. The second part is, once this gets approved, what then? So then obviously we are building it, right? That is where the very much talked about software development engineer roles come in. There are different development methodologies that you don't necessarily have to look into right now. But to give a fair overview, there'll be a principal software engineer who's going to be looking at the bigger things, and then hierarchy banta jayega. So if you are starting out, you will probably be at a very initial stage where most of your work will be sent out to you. But in a product-based company, the benefit that you'll hold as compared to a service-based company is that you are free to provide your inputs as well. So the company invests a lot into you if you are in a product-based company. So your inputs are really valuable to them. And it's, again, depending on the culture. I'm speaking from my personal experience, but ideally, this is how it should be. And you have to make sure that, your suggestions are not so stupid. Like, if your team is discussing a product and you're like, mereko blue color achha nahi lagta hai, isme pink mein dikhao, that's obviously a very dumb suggestion. But if you're making good suggestions, if you're talking about a customer-centric solution, or if you're talking about customer-centric features, it might be a good addition, and that might be a way for your career growth as well. Then that's there. So I am currently in the software development engineer role, and I'll talk about the roles that I've had, and I'll talk about my journey later. I understand that it's something that you might think is not the right way to go, but it will also help you in understanding how my career transition took place and how, if I want, I can explore into different paths as well. So that's a software development engineer role. This is a little hectic process. There is a lot of revisions, a lot of testing, and a quality checks going on. And that is when different roles in the software development engineer domain open up. You could be a full stack engineer, you could be a backend engineer, you could be a front end engineer, you could be a database guy. You might look at data, like you might be a data analyst, you might just get a research job. These things don't really mean much. And even if you're not prepared on any of this as a starter or as a fresher, when you start out into an organization, the company doesn't expect much out of you. They surely expect you to have basic knowledge, but they would be okay with you not knowing this. So feel free to be open about these things. If you are not, you might end up in trouble, because the company will have expectations from you. And if you do not deliver, you will end up creating a really negative impression that will be very difficult to change. So it's completely okay to be open that, if someone comes up and lays down a work on you, and if you do not know how to do it, be clear, be very open, but also very positive in your approach while discussing this. say that you don't know, but you will be investing some time to learn it. And you would do everything, and you know, you would scrounge the internet to find out any resource that you can find. This way, if the stakeholders think that, you know, you investing that much time to learn is not something that they can afford, they will not simply put you there, because these companies, they have a motto. They want to set you up for success. In a good organization, your manager's success would depend on your success. So, and this forms a complete chain of hierarchy. For example, if you were my manager, and let's say your best friend was your manager, which I can understand is not the most ideal scenario you would want to be in. But let's say that was the case, right? So my if I'm unsuccessful, right? If I don't succeed in my career, and if I do not deliver good results and I don't show good impact, your manager, who's your best friend apparently, they would deem you as a failure because someone under you didn't succeed. And similarly, the manager above him would look at your best friend as a failure. So that is how the chain goes. So every manager inherently is trying to make sure that you succeed. No one wants a direct reporting to them who is not delivering good. At the end of the day, any personal grudge or anything, it might harm them as much as it might harm you. And this is a note that goes for every manager as well. So that being said, the roles that you can explore going for the program manager and the senior and the software developer is, if you're a program manager, you can actually go for higher management roles. You can move up the ladder and you can basically look at broader spectrums of the business. If you're a software developer, you might go in any of the two lines. You might go in a senior technical role, or you might go for a management role, a technical management role. A technical management role, one good thing about it is that it provides you visibility. It gives you decision-making capabilities, while at the same time, you do not lose your technical touch of things. So if you're a person who likes to do both, this is the place for you. I'll also jump into what if you don't like one of them, or what if you don't like both of them. But filhal, let's not go off track here. So, and if we're talking about the senior software line ka roles, it might be you can become a principal software engineer, you could become a architect, you can become a software engineering manager. These, like, even in this line, there will be a touch of management that comes into it, but it's more of a people management role, whereas program management roles are more of technical management roles. If you're going up as a software engineering manager, you will make technical decisions, but at the end of the day, you are also responsible for success of people under you. Whereas the success of a program manager or product manager entirely depends on the kind of success or impact their product delivers. And sure, while this thing also indirectly impacts the software development engineers, because I mean, your success or failure is determined by the kind of work that you did on a particular product, right? The stakes are a little bigger for the program manager, product manager role, because that is the only criteria that they're judged on. It was their idea. So at the end of the day, in corporate, for every failure, they want a neck to grab, a neck to choke, not sexual. And in case of every success, there will be thousands of necks just, you know, coming up for that Varmala. I don't know why I didn't say garland, but yeah. So those are things to consider. So while you're developing this, there are a few things to take into consideration. And this is where we'll step into other roles, which is earlier what used to happen is we used to have two different batch of people. We used to have a development team and we used to have an operations team. The development team would create the code and sign off on it, and the operations team would later review the code, see if it's operational. Wow, Harsh. I mean, when I say operational, it's that, you know, if this code is good, if what they've built is good, if this is something that can be delivered to the customers and it builds the contractual obligations. Very good point. Contractual obligations is जाने दो एम्बुलेंस को, बचा लेने दो अपना बुढ़ा. But contractual obligations is, let's say if I'm providing you a service, right? For example, Facebook provides a contractual obligation to their paid users कि मेरी सर्विस 99% of the time up रहेगी, up and running. 99% is a bad number, by the way. It's normally 99.5k around. But or in case of like saste plans, they are 95%. But normally this number is pretty high, because obviously I wouldn't go for a product that will be available 21 hours or 22 hours a day, right? Agar mera business us pe depend karta hai, I would want my servers and everything up and running all the fucking time. So to make sure that the code does not fail after going into the production, or matlab production is basically mera code jaake chala gaya, matlab mera product ab live ho gaya, and jo bhi maine code likha tha us, that code is in function right now. So agar koi user ek button pe tap karta hai to uske piche ka jo code maine abhi likha tha wo play hoga, wo execute hoga. So they just make sure that your code is operational, and they also lay out a strategy on what to do if this code is not right and if this fails and whatnot. However, lately this resulted in a lot of chaos, and a lot of people weren't able to find the next to choke, as I said, right? And it was not a very good operational method. So to tackle these problems, we had the DevOps model adapted in the early 2010s. So this is something that is the idea is that when we have a developer, they will also look at the operational side of it. They will take into consideration that this is going to go into the operations. And while there will be another operational team, the idea is also ki jab main code likh raha hun, at the same time wo code review hota jaye. It's not like I have to build a complete product and then send it, and then it comes back to me for revisions, and then I have to send it. No, it's that as the development is happening, the code is being reviewed. So to establish this, we have a few roles in between. We have the service engineer role, we have the site reliability or reliability engineer role. It will be a good idea to actually go ahead and research more about it, but also it's a good idea to understand these roles. As we say, site reliability engineer role can be an entry level job as well. However, you have to play your cards right. You have to make sure that you have the relevant experience that is required by the job. One good way to do that is you can visit the career site or the job site of any company or the company that you wish to apply for, and then you can look at the job description, you can look at the tools that they're using, and you can add some relevant experience to it. So the site reliability engineer role is actually an implementation of the concept of DevOps. And it just established, like, site reliability engineer kaam hi ye hota hai ki they make sure that we have some fault tolerance limit, which is matlab hamara itna percentage failure hum accept kar sakte hai, but isse zyada failure nahi ho. They make sure ki agar hamara failure ho jata hai, how quickly can we get our system back up. So they will look at the backup mechanisms and everything else. They will also look at the post-mortem of things, ki agar kuch fail ho jata hai, so why did it fail. They will continuously obviously work with both the team, the development and the operational, but they sort of bring these two teams together, so it doesn't look like two different teams, it's one team altogether. Because at the end of the day, it's one company, right? Your product might have 10 different teams, but at the end of the day, sabka goal ek hi hona chahiye, and that is the customer obsessed mindset. This is a very Microsoft thing, but ideally you should be obsessed with your customer. And while obsessed has a negative hint to it, it's just that, you know, while you're doing anything, you should make sure that your product is for the customer and not for anything else, because at the end of the day, that is what's going to matter, right? Agar main kuch bana raha hun, no matter how amazing it looks, if it is not something that will solve my customer's problem, then my product is useless as fuck. So this comes down. So these are basically the role on the development side of it. And there are obviously other roles. There are people who research about things, and there are people who build a blueprint and everything, basically architect and research roles. But these roles are also something that require intensive studies, and you have to have a good experience, or you should have demonstrated something in your previous work to actually obtain one of these. So maybe it might be a good option for you to get into the ecosystem and then explore if you want these roles or not. But site reliability engineers or service engineers or development engineers, these are the primary roles that you can go for in the development side. Other roles include consultancy and project manager roles, where you are not essentially developing something, but it's something that comes after the product is developed. In case of our product-based companies. In other cases, the role of a consultant becomes working with the clients to create a solution for them. And the same thing sort of goes in the product-based company, where a consultant's role is to go ahead and create solutions. People come to consult you. So based on wherever you are located or whichever company you're working for, whatever relevant expertise you're supposed to have, that is something that you'll be consulting others on. People will consult you for. Yeah, that. So that's there. And the project manager roles are that, you have a few projects within an entire organization, and you would be someone who works on managing that. Ideally, a project manager is something that is under a program manager, where a program manager holds the bigger key and fragments out a few of the tasks to the project managers, or of the project managers can have a project managers could themselves be a team, and they could be working on something. So it's more of an entry level job, and this is something that is very achievable, and it's also a good career path to getting into understanding how handling a project or handling something that involves many other people and has dependencies go. So that's about it. I understand that there might be roles relevant to different companies that I might have missed, but the overall granular structure remains the same. This is as generic as I can get, because I'm not trying to invite you to Microsoft. I'm not trying to send you to some other company. I'm not thinking Google chale jao. But as long as you start learning about a particular company, you might feel lost at some other company. Achha, yahan to hai nahi. For example, product manager bol ke koi role Microsoft mein hai hi nahi. But if that is something that you have known your entire life, and if you don't find it, you might not even get what you were looking for. So it's a good idea to understand these concepts, understand ki kahan kahan kaun kaun se field hote hain, and then us field ke hisab se you can find your own role, no matter what the name is and no matter what it's called. So once the product is ready, it's full of free of bugs and has been tested methodically, you are giving it out to customers, right? But how do you do so? The sales and the marketing team, they come into the picture, surely, yes. And I'm not going to drill down on the sales and marketing team a lot, because I think it's something that you already know what a salesperson does. However, there are different things that come into the picture. When you are selling a product to someone, and if your company is big enough, you would have something called an account manager or a relationship manager, or different roles. Again, there in one company there might be five different roles which would more or less do the same thing, or there could be different part of the work that they are all handling. But in the totality, what the relation between the company and their client who uses the product that has been developed by the company, the relationship would involve them going ahead and making proposals about how the product can fit in their business. In this case, they might get a few of the consultants into the picture as well. They might get a few of the technical people, the customer engineers, or folks who have good sound knowledge about the product and who can demonstrate or build something for them. Yahan pe, there can be many ways, right? If the company, the client is big enough, you would go for all this manner. If the client is not big enough, you just go and you just give them a short presentation. And if they find that your product is worthy, they can give it a test trial run. But the account manager role is not something that just ends there. And I'm making an amalgamation of various kinds of roles over here. But you will get a basic idea of kya kya role isme hote hain, or you know, what are the things that you can look for over here. So basically, what are the duties and options available for you to make career choices? Very importantly. So interacting with customers is a skill. Selling something to someone is a beautiful skill. And after you sold that thing to someone, dealing with the problems that someone faces with the product is very challenging. And that is one of the things that the account manager role includes. For example, let's say, again, I have created a product and I'm selling it to you. So, matlab, meri team ne product banaya and I'm this account manager. I come up and I pitch the idea to you. I say that, you know, I have built this lip balm because I can see a lip balm right in front of it. Yes, men should use skincare products. Hashtag smash the pitch. Anyway, so let's say you made a lip balm and you sent it to me. And you said, ki, you know what, great product. Ladki aa jayengi and whatnot. And I did that. But your lip balm started producing an allergic reaction to my skin. What would I do then? I would surely hold your neck because tune meko bola tha ise ekdam safe product hai. Ye kya ho raha hai mere ko? Fix this right away. And this, while this is not a very something that can be fixed immediately, right? If we are talking the IT systems in general, for example, let's say Facebook was built by someone else, okay, and Facebook went down. So obviously the people at Facebook would be furious, right? Let's say Facebook ne Infosys ko kaam diya. Because obviously Facebook went down. So Facebook wale to bolenge na Infosys ko tune kya product bana ke diya mere ko. Or let's say Facebook was using something that was built by Google. Okay, and wo use karne se and like it was running fine, but one day it stopped work. In that case, they will need someone to hold accountable ki kya wo main tumhara product karke use kar raha tha and mera kaam yahan to kharab ho gaya. At that point, the account manager has to not solve it for them, but take accountability and facilitate ki ye cheez jaldi se jaldi solve ho jaye. In most cases, these things might not be such huge thing. Matlab, aise generally kami hota hai ki pura business band ho jaye. Lol, Facebook. But most cases mein kya hota hai na ki, hey, your product isn't working as it's supposed to. And you have to fix that as well. It's not ki baki companies jugaad laga lenge tumhare product ke saath. Nahi. So in that case, come the support part of it. Okay. Now, let's say there are multiple scenarios that can take place. I sold you Maggi and you came to me and you said ki 2 minute mein nahi ban rahi hai Maggi. And I will be like, okay, but you know what? Aapko gas chalu karke pehle paani garam karna padta hai. And you, the client hadn't done that. So while it was a genuine problem ki Maggi nahi ban rahi thi, the client is a dumb fuck. So that resolves the issue. But let's say they come to me and they say ki dekho main itne der se gas on rakha hu, pani bhi garam ho raha hai, but tumhari maggi gal hi nahi rahi. That is a fault with my product. So I'll take the issue to the people who have built the product, and at that point they'll confirm if there is a bug in the product or not. Kya maggi galat quality ki maida se bani thi, or what is the issue? In some cases, it might be a stupid configuration that or you know, stupid thing from the client end as well. Ki usne gas chalu ki thi, lekin gas khatam ho gayi thi, or something like that. But more often than, sometimes there is an outage. In that case, the development team, they have a few set of people who work on round the clock. to make sure and these people are called on calls. So these on calls would, अगर कोई ऐसा इशू आता है, सो दे आर जस्ट देयर टू मेक श्योर दैट यू नो दे कैन फिक्स द इशू एज क्विक एज पॉसिबल. एंड देर विल बी लाइक द साइट रिलायबिलिटी इंजीनियर हैड केप्ट अ फ्यू थिंग्स इन टू द पिक्चर, राइट, कि अगर ऐसा हो जाएगा तो हम इसको हाउ विल वी गेट अ सिस्टम बैक, दोज प्रोसीडियर्स विल बी फॉलोड इफ नथिंग कैन बी सॉल्व इन शॉर्ट पीरियड ऑफ टाइम, बिकॉज वी कांट हैव द डाउन टाइम गो बिग एंड वी वॉन्ट टू मिनिमाइज द impact that it is making on all our clients. Because if this issue pertains to one user and it's a bug at our end, there might be other users who are facing this as well, and over the time this might start building up and we might be under a lot of fire. And at the end of the day, the account managers are also a part of our organization, right? We want to make sure that customer is happy, and no matter who's taking the heat for that. So the frontline people who actually work on these issues are the technical support people. And the technical support people, the technical support role is a very challenging role. It is something that I started my career with, and it's something that I've learned a lot on. First things first, if you're getting a technical support role, people will be like, oh, tu call center mein kaam karta hai kya, or something. And which is something which is very true. But not entirely, because the kind of work that you do, I've had conversations where a huge company that I have known since my childhood, they are on call with me and they're telling me that hamare India mein pura business band ho gaya and we can't make one sale because of your product, and at that time you have to go ahead and fix that for them. And do you understand the kind of heat you are in? Sometimes the emails would be directly escalated from the CEOs of other company. You are on call with them. You are on call, like you are getting emails from the CEO of your own company, because these things get political. So you have to understand that the support role is very challenging, but at the same time, it gives you a lot of life skills. It improves your communication skill. It improves your fluency. It improves your thinking skills. It improves your problem solving skills, and you learn to manage your time, because these jobs are often very hectic. And also it requires a lot of patience, because a lot of the times, you know how difficult it is to deal with people who are dumb fucks by birth. It's not easy. And at the same time, there are people who would not empathize with you, knowing that you are just a person who's taking care of the problem, who's on their side, but not someone who's just defending the product. So you'll have to understand how you manage their anger, how you manage that conversation, and make sure that the experience is a good one. So a lot of learning on this role. The other roles that you can have from a technical support role is basically limitless, because you can learn anything and get anywhere. You have to make the transition soon. You can't let your profile look like a support profile, because after that, if you let that happen, it becomes very difficult to switch. And that is something that's everywhere. If you do not show that you are capable to do a job, no one will hire you for it. You can excel in your field. You could be an excellent software developer. You could be an excellent software engineer or a support engineer. But let's say agar main support engineer se software engineer ke role mein ja raha hun, I will need to show that I'm prepared to do the software engineer thing. Not that I'm a great person. I should have the capabilities to crack that interview. I should have capabilities to understand ki us role mein mere se kya expectations ho gaye, and I have to show them that I'm qualified to do that. Same with program manager roles. If you are in the software engineer roles, you will get a lot of opportunities to take control of things. You'll get a lot of opportunities to show that you are capable of managing things. You have to jump at these opportunities and you have to make sure that you deliver on them, and you show and you quantify your contribution. In that case, aage jaake tum bol sakte ho na ki even though it was not my role, I have experience on this because is time pe mere paas ye opportunity aayi thi, maine usko is tarah se approach kiya aur maine wahan pe ye results dikhaye. So your interviewer has one headache come ki, okay, I don't have to check if this person is already up to the mark with this role or not. They have done their research. So make sure that if you're going for role transitions, you are totally aligned and you're totally on track with making the switch. You can't afford to feel lost after making that switch, because while you will learn at the job, you have to have the basic knowledge to learn what that job requires off of you. So that's one thing. So from support engineer role, you could get on the support bandwagon as well. You can basically learn about the product that you're supporting, and you could become an escalation person in that. For example, if you screw up in the beginning, someone else will, and if it gets escalated, someone else will take the call, right? Eventually, you can become that person. Or let's say if you are stuck somewhere, you take help from a senior escalation person, right? Eventually, you could go for that role. And or you can go for a support engineer manager role, which is again a people manager role. And it's again from there you can go up the hierarchy. But one important part here is that you can also go for roles that manage different vendors. And this is also something which is very important. In a company, they do not do the entire work on their own. Every company has a 70-30 or some ratio depending on what their needs are. For example, आज मेरे को 10 घंटे का काम आ रहा है, like हफ्ते में 10 घंटे का काम आ रहा है, और एक इंजीनियर शुड बी इनफ इन दैट केस. बट लेट्स से मेरे को हफ्ते में, अगले हफ्ते 100 घंटे का काम आ गया, इन दैट केस जस्ट वन इंजीनियर विल नॉट बी इनफ. सो वॉट पीपल डू इज, और वॉट दिस ऑर्गेनाइजेशंस डू इज, दे हायर अ फ्यू पीपल और अ फ्यू एजेंसीज ऑन द आउटसाइड कि यू नो वॉट, मेरे को 6 लोग तुम लोग प्रोवाइड कर दो, हेयर इज अ कॉन्ट्रैक्ट कि ये 6 लोग मेरे पास 1.5 साल काम करेंगे. एंड दैट इज़ हाउ द कंपनी मेक्स एन इन्वेस्टमेंट, बिकॉज इफ आई एम इन्वेस्टिंग इन अ फुल टाइम एम्प्लॉई, आई हैव टू मेक श्योर दैट आई कॉन्ट फायर दैट एम्प्लॉई जस्ट बिकॉज आई डोंट हैव वर्क. दैट इज़ अ बैड अप्रोच. आई नीड टू मेक श्योर दैट एट एनी गिवन पॉइंट ऑफ टाइम द पर्सन आई एम हायरिंग, उसके लिए मेरे पास काम हो. और अगर कुछ एक्स्ट्रा काम है तो मैं, आई वुड जनरली गो फॉर अ पर्सन हु इज आउटसाइड द कंपनी, और यू नो आई विल, आई विल टॉक टू one of the resource providers or consultancies, whatever they like to call themselves, and then I'll engage them as a, on a partner basis. In that case, you can work on managing them, where you can be the technical point of contact as well as escalation for them. So these roles exist in a nutshell. The ideal point is you have to understand and identify where you can see yourself. If you are, let's say, someone who is not too good at the coding and the management part as well, and you just want somewhere where you want to talk and you want to help and, you know, you want to solve problems, support could be a great channel for you. If you think you are into sales and marketing, there are plenty of sales roles available. If you want to get into a role where you interact with customers and you sell them stuff and you manage their account, might take a little bit of experience and you might have to stay in the system for some time, but then that's also achievable. But eventually getting a starting point anywhere is a good idea. What I would say is these roles, as far as the pay is considered, are not very different. Matlab, obviously it differs from a role, because a software engineer job pays much, much more than a support engineer job. But eventually you can make the switch. Eventually you can go to your choice of field. Eventually when you're doing the job, you will meet a lot of people, and that is where the networking part comes in as well, because you will meet a ton of people in job, and you will meet a lot of people who will be, like, you know, in different areas, in different fields. So let's say agar you are in a support role, right? And if you are working on a particular client ka issue, then the account manager might interact with you ki, hey Harsh, I'm talking with the team directly and this is what's happening. Or let's say if you are in an account manager role and if you want to fasten things up, or let's say you're a support engineer only, and if you realize that the bug is not with the configuration or the way the customer is using the product, the bug is in the way the product is built. In that case, you might have communication with the product team and you might establish a connection with them. Ki, you know, you would look forward, ki, hey, you know what? I want to know a little more about your role and how I can prepare for it. Believe me or not, people in these companies are generally very helpful. to help you, because if you can be a colleague for them, it's good. If you show ki I'm an intelligent person and I want to be your colleague, then it's just having good people on the team, and they'll be more than happy to help you. And these mentorships do show positively in the when they start discussing their quarterly reviews and whatnot. So good place to start, I believe. But networking is very important. I can't stress this enough. Being scared of what you are going for is a very obvious fear, but it's once you identify a good starting point and you have in line a future goal for yourself within the company or a future area that you want to go for, you can work it out. But that's about it. So I hope you like the podcast. I have tried to answer as many questions as I could. Just one last question that I really think would be important and I should dive upon is practicing how to switch profiles. Sure, you're meeting people, you ask them what to do, right? But also try to find out things that you are already doing in your current work, which are aligned to what that role would do. For example, if you are a support engineer, right? And if you get a bug, like you identify that a product has a particular bug, you can work with the product team and you can say, you know what, I see that it's a bug. Can I work with you to solve it? And can I see what the code fix is and how we fix this? And then you can, at times contribute that. You can learn coding at your own time. And then you can have a look at a few of the code repositories that are available in your organization. And then maybe you can work with them to solve those bugs. Or let's say if you are you want to go for a managerial role, right? So then you can work with your manager or any manager that you come across and be like, you know what, I am interested in your role. I want to learn a little more about it. Can you mentor me? And then you can have a mentor assigned to you. But these job switches are very easy. We have a lot of resources available on the internet, okay? It might take you some time, but if you're not being able to make the switch because you don't have a starting point, I think one good way is asking someone who's already in that role on how they started preparing for that role. And irrespective of where they're coming for or coming from, I'm sure that you'll find similarities in your current profile. Do let me know if there are any other questions. Please comment them down. I'll try to reply to as many of them as possible. And if there's a role in your particular company that you want some clarity on as well, drop the job link. I'll look into it and I'll try to get back to you in comments only. Please don't reach out to me in DMs. It would be a good idea if you can lay it down for everyone else to see, and maybe others can learn from your experience as well. Thank you. This is Harsh signing off. I've been talking for an hour continuously. Fuck, man, it's 3:15. I need to be up in 5 hours. Don't ever say that I don't do enough for you people. I love you. Bye.
Hold up.